Welcome back to the podcast that rocks, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
And my screen is bonkers because I forgot I'm streaming that. There we go. Hope you're all doing well on this lovely Wednesday. November 19th is when we're streaming this. Hope you're all had a good week from this past week. We have Rowan on location at in the heart of a festival or concert right now. Something like that. We have Rowan. Yeah, so Rowan will have a little bit of a different vibe. However, I'm happy that he was able to pop in just in time. Alex has.
Happy that filming finished right as it started.
There you go. I'm happy that Alex also is rocking the orange. It's a good color.
Thank you.
Yes. My wife was rocking like a bluish purple on stream. See, Rowan and I don't do fun color stuff. We just show up like what got out of bed. So It's nice to have
Look at my hair. It's like exactly like this.
It's nice to have one person that actually does try to have a presentation. It actually is nice.
Effort, boys.
Yeah,
effort.
I know what the word is. That's not the issue. So thank you so much, everyone. Please get it up to 50 likes on the live chat and we will play one round of Festival Rock or Flop where we book a random festival of at least four bands. Also, any super chats of $10 or more, we already got one. Thank you. We'll get their own dedicated festival. If we get enough super chats of any amount, we'll add an extra band to each festival. Finally, I want to tell all you Steves in the chat. Yes, you're all called Steves. That's your name. That's all what you all decided on. You're a bunch of Steves. I want to tell everyone here listening, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and ring the bell. I was confirmed by another media friend of mine that YouTube is using less stuff, and I looked into it later. YouTube is really pushing that stuff again, like big time. So get used to your favorite YouTuber saying that phrase repeatedly again on every video. The cheese, the YouTube cheese. So everyone's talking about Megadeth. Yeah, there's a lot to get into, Steves. The Steves have a lot of Megadeth discourse going already. Goodness.
The Steves are very interested in where I am. I'm at work, guys, or I'm at my office. All right.
You couldn't figure that out, Steves? Really? Steves?
Yeah, one is saying, is Rowan inside of an interrogation room? Yeah, I have a cop right across the table from me. He's nice enough to let me do this. You know, I was charged with manslaughter earlier. So yeah, hopefully we'll beat the charges. I got Bob Odenkirk as my lawyer, so I'm pretty confident.
Everyone else, hope you're all doing well and hope you're all having a great week. Should we jump into it? Are we prepared? Because I have the quotes and they're they paint a new light of delusion I did not know we had to worry about with one Dave Mustaine. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
That's an accurate way to say it. Let me share my screen with my friends here so they can see what I'm doing. Wa-bam. Wa-bam. Amongst all the news of Dave Mustaine and Megadeth, the new album, final tour, Dave Mustaine wants to go to the moon. Literally. I could not have made that up if I tried because I didn't think Dave Mustaine would have any interest. He's barely a step up above Flat Earther, unfortunately. However, it's true. I'll be reading the quotes in segments and we'll be discussing them as intellectually as possible. Dave Mustaine has a lofty goal for the location of Megadeth's final concert, space, as a write-up from Loudwire over this interview with Metal Hammer. I'm not doing an impression. I hope we'll be playing up in space. I think that'll be a really fitting climax. And I'm not talking about on the side of a vomit comet, a gig on the moon, a full moon landing. That would be cool. Thoughts, everyone? Anyone?
What is a vomit comet?
You're worried about that. I want to know, how do you hold a concert on the moon? Because I can't imagine you're going to be in a spacesuit playing guitar. I feel like that'd be very difficult. Wouldn't really be able to kind of be accurate on the
foot. I feel like once you get up there, that's the least of his problems.
I'm thinking like Austin Powers, a moon bubble. Like they're in this bubble.
Like some turning closed space.
It's glorified moon camping. And they just go out there like the big tank moon tents. I gotcha. For those wondering, the Vomit Comet is a nickname for a special aircraft that flies roller coaster like parabolas to stimulate weightlessness. So it's like one of those fake things, you know?
What?
Even if he did that, I'd be like, I guess if that's what you want. But no, he wants NASA or SpaceX or whatever else to fly him, his band, and his crew to the moon and perform the last Megadeth show ever on the moon, making the moon metal again.
Ugh. How do fans get to that show?
That is not Dave Mustaine's problem.
No, it's not. You know, he tried to sell tickets
for the moon.
Oh, he tried to sell tickets to that. Don't get that twisted.
He played to the Rovers or whatever.
Yes. Like, because then they'd have to set up cameras up there, too, and like record it all. So they need recording crew and like tech crew up there. Those limited flights to the moon usually don't have a ton of people, let alone extra crate amps, wiring gigs, studio jibs. They don't usually have that stuff with them.
My man, it is 2025. It is all DI and laptops these days. Come on. I'm not taking a full stack to the moon.
My wife just chimed in. Forget a Fortnite concert. We're bypassing that and going straight for the moon. Even if you did a Fortnite concert, we'd all roll our eyes, go, eh, fine, whatever. No, no. He's not done. I saw they set up a bunch of celebrities into space. They're talking about the Katy Perry flight. You know, and I thought, well, of them, why not me? You know, I'm just watching how that all progresses. I know Elon Musk and Richard Branson were working on interstellar travel. I think people are going to be traveling to space a lot sooner than you think. This is a 60-something-year-old man who saw Katy Perry go to space for 11 minutes and thought, I could do that and make it cool.
Well, it's not just that I can do that. I can play like a 2-hour concert with that.
Oh, he would play the classics. He would play a lot of it. He would try to play as much as he could up there.
I am very upset with the fact that my mind is picturing Dave Mustaine floating around in a little, you know, Discover tube thing.
I think you're right.
Looking
it would
at
be
a
the
flower,
dome. Yeah.
Frank Sinatra
playing
Fly Me to the Moon. That's what I'm picturing right now, and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
Not taking
like
up the brain space.
Type thing.
Yeah.
Like a 2001 Space Odyssey.
Did you guys ever see Rocket Man, the movie with Harlan Wayans? It's a PG Disney movie, live action, late 90s.
Elton John.
No, no, not that one. No, no.
Right?
Rocket Man, all one word. No, it came out in the late 90s. It was made by Disney and with NASA. It was legit funny. But it's like the astronauts that were going to go to the next moon landing and then going to go to Mars, or they were going to go to Mars, excuse me, the first manned flight to Mars. And one of their star astronauts couldn't make it. So they picked the goofiest, wackiest side guy, but he's a genius also. And shenanigans ensue. That type of movie. This is what this feels like, the metal version of that. They're going to try to send Dave Mustaine. I can't imagine like Dave Mustaine's going to lean over and try to tell the astronauts how to fly the rocket. That type of stuff's going to happen up there.
Oh God.
It's going to be weird. So I
think it's hilarious that we all have kind of different visions of this. You're thinking Rocket Man, which I've not seen, but I kind of want to know what your picture is.
It is worth it.
I'm over here thinking Austin Powers, Moon Bubble, and yeah. Nutty Professor 2. When he's in space,
I didn't see the sequel. I only saw the first.
So it's like a spoof scene of Armageddon, and he's got to go blow up a comet that's going to hit Earth, but instead he accidentally puts the bomb on the moon, and he blows up the whole moon.
You guys keep referencing movies that were out before I was even born.
You've seen movies before you were born. Don't give us that as an argument. I've never been allowed to watch a movie before the year 1999. Nuh-uh. That's not a
thing. I'm picturing it would be like he would try to do like a Rammstein's America music video where he and the rest of the band are just decked out in the full spaceman gear, but it's just going to be impossible to play instruments between the gravity and also just having like these giant mitts where your hands are.
See, the dome idea, you're right. You're totally right. They're not going to be like, he can't practice in an actual NASA suit.
That.
Yeah. But so you're right. Alex's dome theory does make more sense, but that increases the cost to go up there by, tenfold. And it's already not a cheap excursion up there.
Yeah. And again, how do fans who want to see the show get there?
Oh, I see. My thing, it's going to be like the during quarantine, like during pandemic, they had all those private concerts, like live concerts, like just with no audience, the band performing. It's going to be like that, like a pay-per-view.
Oh, so they just live stream the concert?
Or record it and then sell it later. Yes.
It's not really like kind of a crappy way to for your final concert to be.
Oh, he doesn't care. He just wants to do it. Oh,
there's going to be conspiracy theories. Nope, they didn't have to go to the moon.
And Dave Mustaine already loves his conspiracy theories about other stuff. It's perfect. He gets a dose of his own medicine.
Coming full circle.
Oh, man. Another quote. Personally, I'd never want to live on a planet away from the world we live in. People were talking about a trip to Mars, but all I can imagine is somebody saying, going, oh, I forgot my toothbrush. That would be the longest flight ever. This is the same interview. This is the same man who wants this as a process, by the way. Everyone on board still? Everyone? Does everyone barely feel a little bit dumber? Just a little bit. Yeah. No, you're right. All, your exasperation so and your thought processes are all accurate for what I just said. I have it on screen, by the way, so that way everyone knows I did not make that up. So he was watching Katy Perry in space and thought, I could do that. Also, man, I wouldn't want to live up there, though. Think about if I lost my toothbrush. And this is what's going on at the end of Megadeth for their final album coming out next year, be early next year. And the final tour, which also we found out is not going to be a one and done thing. It's going to be massive. Expectations of 3 to 5 years, kind of like Slayer's farewell tour, not their final performances, but farewell tour was like a 5-leg, 2 to 3 year tour. I don't hate that, but 5 years is a lot.
No, yeah, that's gonna be insane. That's gonna be rough on the body, I can imagine, being on the road for that long.
Keep in mind, they're already gonna be playing with Iron Maiden in North America, which is a good tour. I'm happy about that. But they already have dedicated, like, contractual signups for supports, and then more touring, so they could just say this is a farewell that's ongoing. So it's kind of a weird thing. It's not the Kiss version where it's they just keep doing farewells. It's just one long goodbye. Does that make sense? I get what he's going for. I just feel like talking gibberish because I'm trying to decode Dave Mustaine.
No, the Slayer analogy is very accurate. It's going to be this is the farewell tour, but it's going to be a long tour, you know, which I can understand. And I commend, really give people a last chance to go see Megadeth. Just like, again, 5 years is going to be tough on the body. And again, just like stupid comments like, oh, we want our last show to be performed on the moon. It's like, dude, come on, man. Seriously, you're just looking like an ass at this point.
I think the long tour thing is cool. And I think that's a good way to go out, because then you're making sure that you're reaching as many of your fans as possible. It's not like, oh, farewell tour, West Coast only.
Correct.
That sucks.
There's the meme of like what a world tour means. They'll show US and Canada, Japan, Europe, but like no Africa, maybe Australia, no South America. It's like, it's not the world. Slayer did a good job of that long tour covering the world. They really did. So at least if that's the plan, I'm fine with it. That's one thing I'm totally behind. I just don't know about him touring that long while preparing for spacewalks and making sure he's travel ready to go into the atmosphere.
I don't think the whole space thing is even going to happen. I think he's going to he's going to approach NASA or Elon Musk or whoever else offers this, and they're going to laugh at his face. It's like, we can't practically do this.
I don't know, man. You ask Elon Musk enough.
Like 10 minutes.
You suck up to Elon Musk enough, he'll probably try to do something. However, for those wondering, Dave Mustaine, 64 years old, a touch older than they usually have NASA astronauts. A touch.
I mean, like William Shatner went to space and he's like 90.
Yeah. That's also a little different because he didn't go on the moon trying to perform a concert.
He just went boop, boop.
You're assuming that anyone even humor this idea.
If Dave Mustaine has his way, yes. And also, Megadeth fans do whatever Dave wants. Like the diehards. Yeah, the diehards. I say this as someone who likes Megadeth music. Okay, don't get that twisted either. I don't know, man. What am I supposed to really else say about this? I don't know if I should keep reading quotes.
Going to get worse. I think we've already got through most of the mud.
Yes. The worst is over. The final album, the self-title, will come out early next year. Two new songs are out right now. The latest song, I Don't Care, came out last week, which musically I thought was pretty good, but lyrically it sounded like a 13-year-old at detention wrote it. I don't care, mom and dad. I don't care what people think. I don't care about the system and the rules. That for 3 minutes.
I got to be honest. Megadeth is one of those bands where it's like, I have a cutoff for like what I listen to whenever I do listen to them. Like, I don't really touch much stuff after the 2000s.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You weren't even born yet, Rowan.
Yeah, yeah, you got allowed to listen to stuff before you were born. Didn't we already establish that?
Yeah, no, it's like you're not allowed to watch or listen to any media like coming out before your birth year.
You go to like in school for history classes. I'm not allowed to learn about this. This was before I was born. You just walk out.
I don't know anything past 2001 or before 2001.
Like, really? Not even 2000. 2000 was just too much for you to handle. Time before.
That's the problem.
It's self-focused. There were people in time before me? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the problem with kids these days.
Yeah. Time was a thing.
All joking aside, going back, I feel like most people, when they talk about Megadeth, they really only talk about like the 80s and 90s stuff. No one really touches like anything of this century.
Sure.
I can't be alone in that.
I mean, that's fair. People talk about that with Metallica even, but Metallica more just they make fun of it. Metallica's still a household juggernaut name.
Yeah.
Megadeth they have less material that stands out after the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah.
Cause I mean like Metallica, I mean like Saint Anger came out in 2001 and we all know it's bad, but people talk about it.
Yes. That's very true. Yes. Is Dave just fed up of naming tours? And someone else said, so is he going to pull a Kiss except they pulled off that for 20 years? No, I think I like the idea. They're going for the Slayer route. That is more respectable. We still don't know if Kiss is going to, because they've already announced two performances now. One, I actually agree with, by the way, they're actually going to get together, perform again in honor of Ace Frehley. That's perfect. Fine. That's great. You do that. That's awesome. But they're still planning their Kiss at Landlocked at Sea, Las Vegas cruise in a hotel thing.
Yeah. One-offs, one-off shows, I think we can all commit. It's just like when it's like, oh yeah, we're doing a residency or we're doing like a tour on a cruise or something like that. Okay. It's like, okay, so you didn't go away.
Yeah, you did.
We're not technically touring.
Yeah, You're having to come to us in our hotel that we're making you pay way more for. Like, okay, all right.
We just happen to be here. If you want to come
We're just here. If you want to book a room,
Here, just click buy now.
Goodness. So, the good news, I do want Megadeth's tour to go well. I really do. If this is the true send-off and it's years and it covers the world and makes sure all the fans are covered, you're doing it perfectly. That's exactly what it is. I don't want to see a space disaster like the Challenger, but with Megadeth inside.
Oh, God. You know, that would be like the news of the year, maybe even the decade, where it's like Megadeth goes into space, their rocket blows up. That would be insane.
And they all blame Lars for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Dave's son goes on a podcast, goes on Joe Rogan. It's like, yeah, you know, Lars, he's the one who really screwed over. Yeah,
that's the exact podcast it would be on also. So, okay. And final joke before we move on, because this is the one joke that everyone's told. I've heard it on radio stations and everywhere else. Megadeth's going to go to the moon and then hopefully they leave him there. Like literally, I'm not kidding. Dozens of stations and channels and everything have made that identical joke. At least go, hey, they're going to leave them there. And on the weather flying away, they're going to play Metallica's like Metallica blasting. And so that way, that's the last thing you hear. At least go a step farther.
Something different.
Yeah, exactly. They blast Master of Puppets while he's like swinging his arms. Wait for me. You know, that type of thing.
Okay.
So it's like that.
I had to leave for a sec because I was so bad. Remember when they played Master of Puppets when they were honoring
when they won the Grammy? Yes, yeah. I remember.
Oh my God. You know what? Here's the thing. I hate Dave in the sense that he doesn't shut up about Metallica, but at the same time too, if I was in his shoes there, I'd be like, I am in hell or something.
Ooh. Like if he goes on the rocket, would he still talk about, yeah, suck it, Lars, look where I am now. Like he can't even like put that aside. Thing.
Every time I see an interview of this guy pop on with Instagram or whatever, it's always him talking about Metallica. And I'm like, dude, this is why everyone clowns on you. Cause he can't let it go.
Alex, have you seen Megadeth live?
Yes.
Okay. I have a few times also. It really is focused around Dave. So
Well, yeah. They are the only band in the Big Four that I have not seen live. And I do want to see them live just because I love Rust in Peace. I love Peace Cells. And it would just be cool to kind of just say I've seen all the Big Four. But at the same time, too, it's like Megadeth is kind of like is probably the last band of the Big Four that I actually like. Like if there was like a totem pole of how I rank them.
See, if we're going classics, I really do like Megadeth classics.
Yeah. Like Rust in Peace is solid. Rust in Peace is a true classic thrash album at a time where thrash was changing and they said, no, we're going to keep doing this. Again, credit to Megadeth and Dave Mustaine. Nailed it. I don't want to hear that on the NASA channel and on like all those space exploration channels, you know? Countdown to extinction.
Nah, they won't play it.
Yeah. Ugh. So we should move on. We've had enough space talk for Dave Mustaine. It sucks that that's a thing, but it is. Let's talk about good stuff. We don't have anything flat out awful or terrible or that we need to talk about this week, which is good. One thing that happened this past weekend was the last Warped Tour of the year. They're going to do it again next year, also in Orlando. I'm going to have this play just a little bit because other people did footage, like media makers and stuff. One thing I want to talk about for Warped Tour Orlando, as the footage goes on and they show bands and the half pipes and motocross and skateboard and pits. Here's the thing. They did the grounds well. I was so worried because like they've had Warped Tour at that area for years, but it's been a long time since. Well, they redid the whole grounds for it. They got the big stages there like the other two Warped Tours. They did it right. Hats off to them. I've heard many people complain that day two was much, much, much better than day one. I can't really like argue your feelings on that. Day two had A Day to Remember make their big announcement. Big old album volume two is coming next year. And they did it at their glorified hometown show because they're like an hour and a half away from Ocala. So good things overall did happen at the Orlando Warped Tour. I bring this up. Something good happened in Florida. There. I said it. Okay. Everyone there. So we don't know headliners. We don't know lineups for next year's Warped Tour. My question for Alex and Rowan and everyone else in chat. Yeah, someone just said no more Pooh River. That was the DC one. Pooh River was DC. Tech problems were Los Angeles. Looking at what happened this year with Warped Tour and how they brought it back. If the lineup was at least something worth checking out, like bands you did care about, would you be willing to travel to one of the Warped Tours, whichever's closer to your choice? Alex, would you be willing to go to one of them?
If the lineup is solid, yeah.
Okay. And that's fine. That's fair. Rowan, how about you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That goes for like pretty much every festival. The only big issue is just, again, travel and money and time.
And that's,
You're really close to DC. So would you go again?
If the lineup was different, absolutely. I said that before, too. I think it was a worst case scenario for the DC one because it was also the same weekend as the parade slash protest. And so much of DC and getting into and out of DC was shut down completely. Like highway exits were completely closed off. So I would go again. And I said that before. I didn't love how everything ran, but at the same time, I could tell people were enjoying it. And if the lineup's different, yes, I would go. That's me, though.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, that's extreme convenience for me. Where I am, I would not have to get a flight.
Yeah.
It's super easy for me to go too, but it would have to be a good lineup.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Once you start having to like consider like, oh yeah, I got to take a plane. I got to find a hotel. I got to take time off of work. That's when like, yeah, I really have to kind of like weigh out the pros and cons of it
all. Sure. And I will say this. People can complain, praise Warped Tour, all the highs and lows they've had over the decades. Warped Tour, all three weekends this year, whatever problems they had, they still ran. They still went through with it. Okay. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. They established they can execute it though. I hope this is the best case scenario for a learning experience and they can go, okay, this went really well. This was a failure. We have to improve next year because they have the same three venues, same three cities, same relative time frame. There's no reason they cannot make it bigger and better next year, especially if it's going to be 2 days again like it was this year. Am I dreaming too much? Because we all know the festival situations for other companies and they just kind of go with the flow and like, eh, whatever, as long as we're making money.
I think if they learn from what they did this year for next year, it should be solid.
Well, this is their big return. So, you know, it's like, hopefully this means that, like, it'll just get better and better every subsequent year.
We have a lot of hope and optimism on the podcast at Rocked. If you haven't listened, sometimes that pays off. Sometimes we learn a lesson ourselves. Anyone in the chat, if you went to any of the Warped Tours, let us know what you thought in live chat or the comments. Steve's, let us know. Steve's at Warped Tour. We'll make that a thing too. Next year, we'll have people hold up signs to say, I'm a Steve. And just confuse everyone there. That will not be the weirdest sign at Warped Tour, by the way. Not even close.
If we could just even have like 10 people or even 5, just they're all spread out around the crowd and it's all the same sign. That would make for great footage.
If I knew there could be a Steve meetup at a Warped Tour, I would fly to that one just to make it a big event. The only problem is the Long Beach one, you're walking even if you're parking. Like, you got to park and then walk a ways because it's Long Beach. And then Orlando is Orlando. So, you know. Then again, then we could have the Steve's Takeover Universal, like Halloween Horror Nights. Steve's Takeover Magic Kingdom. That could be fun, too.
That would be fun. Halloween Horror Nights. You want to hear something
funny? Mm-hmm.
Want to something interesting?
Go for it.
I was on a date last weekend, and the girl I was with, she's also really heavily into the scene, and we were laughing and joking about how horrible the Asking Alexandria performance was.
Were they at the Orlando one? The serious question.
They weren't.
Okay. That's, well, you know what? Orlando has a step up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you bonded, though. Like, you could bond over Asking Alexandria's bad DC performance and then bad, confusing Long Beach performance. So
funny enough, she told me that Data Remembers is actually her favorite band. She's seen them a lot, and she went to Warped Tour a lot. So I should call her, see how she feels about the big announcement. I know she would go crazy over it.
That's a good follow up, and also a good way to have introduction. See, everyone listening, you can get a second date without being creepy about it. You can actually ask questions. When can actually, I see you again?
We're seeing Decapitation in the city in two weeks, so I'm excited about that.
Romantic.
Yeah.
by the way, she might be the only lady there. I don't know what to tell you, man. At a cattle decap show, she might be. So as we move on, let us know your Warped Tour thoughts. I do hope Warped Tour continues to see success. They clearly did this year. Whether you liked it, whether you didn't like it, problems, faults, didn't like the headliners, it still worked. So that's worth pointing out. Speaking of festivals and Florida, Welcome to Rockville 2026 full lineup got announced. That was actually a decent segue for me. Okay. Even Alex went woo on that. It just got cut out, I think. So you know what?
I was just mouthing it.
Oh, okay. Woo! Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll take that one for credit for me. So I talked to some of these two about it a little bit, and I'll let you guys get your thoughts first. Welcome to Rockville, May 7th through the 10th in Daytona Beach, Florida, headlined by Guns N' Roses, Foo Fighters, Bring Me the Horizon, and My Chemical Romance, each on the respective days, Thursday through Sunday. Lots of variety, similar to Sonic Temple. There's a lot of pros. There's a lot of cons. That's just me. I'll give my thoughts more particular on that. Alex, thoughts on Welcome to Rockville 2026?
Feel like we are seeing a trend on the big festivals we've seen so far.
Okay.
It's very in line with what we've seen already for stuff getting announced next year.
Yes.
I mean, the Guns N' Roses and the Bring Me the Horizon, which the Bring Me the Horizon, I'm all for it. I'm super stoked to see them at the top of the bill for multiple big festivals.
Yes, I agree. And we know they can deliver on a headline spot like this. They already did it with Louder Than Life. Foo Fighters, the return to a headline spot after their hiatus. I'm fine with that because they've headlined Rockvilles before. My Chemical Romance is going to be a spectacle next year. Guns N' Roses is the return to make up their performance that got rained out in 2022 or something like that.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Rowan, what do you think about Rockville 2026?
Yeah, honestly, I can't really complain too much about any of the headliners. I feel like they're all like big enough that like it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Really, again, like Guns N' Roses is like one of the ones where I'm about, but I've made my thoughts clear on them. Honestly, like, I mean, like with any festival, there's a lot of bands I love, there's a lot of bands I like, and there's a lot of bands I don't care for. But
sure,
when you have this many people on the bill, you're bound to get some acts you don't care about or just not like. There's a lot here that I do like, though. And so I can't really complain about this. If I can, I would go.
Right. Exactly. And that's very fair, too. and this is very close to Sonic Temple. There's a lot of overlap with Sonic Temple. There's like, me personally, you guys feel however you want. Thursday is my, I'll fly in on Thursday. I can miss that one. But I'd hang out Friday through Sunday, have no issues with it, and find a lots to enjoy. I mean, Saturday alone, people know I'm a diehead Star Set fan, but there's also Avatar, Dragon Force, Apocalyptica, Lamb of God, Bring Me the Horizon on the headline spot. There's something for everyone on this, and Friday has Turnstile on a way higher spot along with Parkway Drive doing the full production stuff.
Friday also is just honestly, like a really sick deathcore lineup too, just like Sonic Temple, which, you know, I'd be happy about.
I think the coolest thing about this is every single day has something that I would be stoked to see, which is not typical for these big massive festivals. Some days I'm like, dang, that day is kind of ass. Yeah. This is not the case.
There are days like that. And I said Thursday's the day I could skip. Even though there are still bands I would like to see on Thursday for sure. I like Death Clock, obviously. Ice Nine Kills puts on a fun show. Amon Amarth's going to have the Viking ship. But I could skip that day because they have Godsmack and Stained and Five Finger Death Punch, and the audience is going to smell like, oh, how do I put this politely? I don't know. What's a good way to turn this one? Like
Monster Energy.
Monster Energy and a biker bar bathroom that refuses to be cleaned.
Yeah, I was thinking Coors Light seeping out of the pores.
Coors Light Monster Energy. Goodness.
Someone makes a cocktail out of a Monster Energy and a Coors Light, leaves it out in the sun in some trashy trailer park.
All right, Steves, what is the name of our new drink at Welcome to Rockville? The Rockville exclusive. What's the name, Steves? Half Miller, half Coors Light, half Monster Energy, no ice. It's served warm. What is the drink? Because it's Florida. All the drinks are warm. Patent
pending. Whatever name it is, we are patenting it.
We'll give you credit. Part. Like, we'll give you a share on the titling, but yeah, we're taking over on this too.
What if we Steves? Just called it the Steve? The Steve.
No, we don't want to insult our Steves like that. That really would set the Steves back decently. But come on now. The Welcome to Rockville logo on a cup and the bartender, like the Monster Energy girl, she's pouring the Monster and a Coors Light together at the same time into the cheap plastic cup. Here you go.
John Taffer is like standing over her shoulders, like, not you serve up. People this?
Trying not to throw up while they're serving it. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the one that pushes John Taffer rescue. Over the ledge. Yeah, that's the one that actually pushes him over. It's like, hurry up, I gotta see Stain. Oh, wait, what am I talking about? Aaron Lewis would absolutely take that drink on stage with him.
Aaron Lewis, you can give that guy rubbing alcohol and he'll probably drink it.
I'm just thinking that's probably be the drink he like tries to champ. You know how like Metallica has their whiskey and like they sell it at the DWPs?
Yeah, would Aaron do that. Lewis endorsed Coors and Monster.
The axe,
guys, when I told that joke, what do you mean there's a drink named Steve? This is not what I meant.
No, we cannot call it the Steve. That's off the table.
I forgot about that.
The axe fireball, the Florida man cocktail, the body spray fireball, tropical mustard. What in the world? Oh, no.
Kind of like that one.
I hate how that's so poetically perfect. It's so gross.
How about we just call it the dun? Okay. I got an idea. What if we call it the dun 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 dun? Dun? That's the name of the drink. You have to say it like that.
Well, two things I want to point out. I've as someone who's been at 7 Welcome to Rockvilles. Number one, don't drink that. Drink water. Don't drink Monster, drink water. Drink water. It's Daytona in the beginning of summer. Drink water, you morons. Number two, if the name ends up being something like that with a Monster and Coors together, and it's the tropical mustard, call the cops. Just you're going to know that that's the type of person that's not going to get it out of the system in time before they get to their car. So just call the cops as soon as you see it served.
Gross.
Back to the music. There's a lot on here that's good. I've never been to Rockville as it's been in Daytona. For me personally, I would still hit up Sonic Temple. That's a me thing. I would not sway away anyone that wanted to go to this because there's so much good stuff on here. So that's just me. Any other thoughts before we move on? Yeah.
Pretty good lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, final thing, there's variety in tone. They got deathcore, they got pop punk, they got the new stuff, they got the old stuff. They did a good job with variety.
Again, there's nothing you can really complain about.
Mm-hmm. Here's hoping. People, everyone, Steve's, please do not spread word that we made a new drink on the podcast. The Rocks.
Hey, Steve's, why don't you guys make a video where you mix this and review it, and we'll endorse it.
I do not support this kind of behavior.
You can endorse something on a new podcast that you'll be on. Whoa. Rowan went off the script.
Well, shout out your channel.
Yeah.
that.
Louder Life has MC Iron Maiden confirmed, though. Yeah, that is also true. See, I was thinking it was going to be Iron Maiden, but they got Guns N' Roses at Rockville. The thing is, Guns N' Roses, we make fun. They have to make up their show because one of them got rained out a few years ago. That I at least get. I get that. Also, Guns N' Roses in Daytona, Florida is bread and butter. Guys, it's all old, angry biker retirees wanting to sing Guns N' Roses. Yeah, they're going to pay.
That retiree money.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
Use that 401k money that our generation's never going to get.
We're paying for.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Tropical mustard would sell. Ugh. As we move on, speaking of, ugh, boy, this is a good segue. For those John Oliver fans, we got one of the best, most heaviest metal cameos ever on John Oliver. When talking about NPR and public broadcasting, John Oliver did a whole special, and they featured one of the interviews that we've talked about, too. Blothar from Gwar. Where'd it go? Dang it, I had the clip up.
Go like 3.5 minutes and there you go.
You're not gonna find that on network television. And not to mention Sesame Street. I mean, look, this is a
you can hear people in the audience laughing. I can't play much more, else it'll get dinged for copyright. That is Blore in his full gear that I will not describe on the podcast lest we get kicked off and demonetized. Talking about NPR, about how he found live music and heavy music on PBS and local public broadcasting. He's also talking about Sesame Street, one of the most evil, vile, murderous aliens. And Mr. Rogers talking about this.
Yeah.
You know what else he did?
Awesome, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, you know what else he did? All right, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. What was awesome, though, is that right after that clip, John Oliver name-dropped Blothar and Gwar, and he had like this awesome little cute like little segment about like Blothar being on Mr. Rogers.
Yes, AI awesome. Video. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, it's just cool that we got that he named John Gwar, John Oliver. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Good that metal in any fashion is getting into the mainstream with John Oliver. So for those who are not aware, John Oliver does a lot of stuff for charity, for signing off for John Oliver's junk. They sell a lot of stuff for benefiting public media right now. The main website has tons of stuff, including an actual painting by, what's his name?
Bob Ross.
Bob Ross, excuse me. I was thinking Bob Moss.
How did you forget Bob Ross's name?
Because I have 5,000 names in my head at all times, and I was thinking the wrong letters.
You don't forget Bob Ross.
I'll forget anything. I'm sorry. I was looking at Russell Crowe's jock strap right next to it that's trying to sell right now, and I got distracted by the shenanigans.
I'm looking at this thing underneath Bob Ross.
It's cut off.
What the hell
is it? It is thankfully cut off right below on the YouTube feed, so I don't have to censor it, but I cannot scroll down anymore. Yeah. So, why does this all matter for all these amazing stuff they're auctioning out to help fund PBS and public broadcasting and everything else, NPR? Blothar signed a bidet, and its already current bid is $5,000. Someone actually.
By the way, guys, I'm out $5,000.
Well, the bid's still open, so you might have to pay a little more if I get my hands on it. Yeah. We're all bidding each other live on the podcast. Yes.
Poker face, Rowan. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes, the Berserker Blothar has actually signed a real bidet. Current bid with 65 bids in already. That's a lot of Gwar support, currently at $5,000. Bidet signed by Berserker Blothar for American heavy metal band Gwar, as discussed on Last Week Tonight. Blothar is a big fan of public broadcasting greats such as Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street. Despite the way he looks, Bidet is a Kohler Pure Wash M300 model with a chrome handle and a quiet closed lid to prevent slamming. Well, respectfully, we think Blothar could use one when talking about a self-cleaning wand. Should I keep going? I feel like it's going to get a little dirtier if I keep going. So, but yes, for those, if you really want to support NPR and PBS and you want a bidet, well.
Can I ask something?
Yeah, maybe.
For the person who buys this, who could be either me or you, Luke. Yes. do we install this and actually use the bidet, or do we frame this in like our houses?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It's hard to say because this is autographed memorabilia that's been on by Gwar and on the John Oliver show. So it is big, you know.
I'm moving into a new apartment next week. How hilarious would it be if that's the art piece in my living room when I have like a housewarming party? All of my friends and family walk in and there's a bidet hanging up on my wall. It's like, what the hell? Why do you have this? And it's like,
why didn't you buy furniture, Rowan? You need a bed and a couch.
What?
I said, why didn't you buy furniture, Rowan? You need a bed and a couch. And instead it's just that on the floor.
I spent all my money. It's like, me and my roommate, it's like the one piece of furniture in our house. We have no food. We have no feed.
They're on the potato bed trend, Luke. Come on.
What is the potato bed?
It's basically a human-sized dog bed. You take a fitted sheet, but just have it like all floppy, and you fill it with pillows and blankets, and then you put another pillow or blanket on top of that and make yourself a giant human-sized dog bed.
That's like the equivalent of a little kid couch fort, but for adults. Except,
yep. Yeah, that's what they're doing these days. It's
give me some credit. I found a cardboard box, Alex. I'll be sleeping on that tonight. Thank you.
Thought you were putting your potato bed on top of your box, Rowan. Sorry.
Or at least in your box so that way you have a roof, you know?
Yeah. It's like the realtor comes in. It's like, why did you do this? Why did I sign off on you guys taking this place?
The least, the landlord. Yeah, the landlord probably would not approve. But you know what? If you're paying rent, do whatever you want. That's their problem.
Yeah, it's like we already agreed to us. As long as you get your first of the month, we'll have this in our room.
We move on to the bit of unfortunate news. Soundgarden's working on a lot of stuff to get that unreleased Chris Cornell material ready. Soundgarden's doing a lot of cool stuff now that they're Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Audioslave, not so much. Turns out that Tom Morello has updated fans of Audioslave saying there is an album's worth of material for Audioslave with Chris Cornell that has never seen the light of day, but they just can't all get together to get on the same page and find a way to present it and finish the presentation and all that. That sucks. So
yeah.
As someone who was a big Audioslave back in the day and still loved the band and everything that they did, they were the perfect super group that was not about ego and not about just a cash grab. It was real. I would love to hear what's still like under wraps and what was left behind and that could come now. So
yeah, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Tom Morello's at it, maybe another Rage tour. You did it once and it was the best concert I've ever seen in my life. Can't act like that wouldn't be cool again. So we can all dream. We can all just dream together as we move on. Good.
Eventually it will happen though, because they have all of that material.
I agree. So. And like now that the Cornell rights and stuff with the family, that a lot of that's been settled. A lot. Like most of that's
I can't imagine.
So good.
I can't imagine to say keep talking about it that they would just say that they would just come out of the blue and be like, it's not happening. You know, like I feel like he didn't say it's never not happening. It's just not happening right now or anytime soon.
Just no plans right now.
Exactly.
Like, I don't see them sitting on it forever, though.
No. And again, I at least get why the Soundgarden camp of things is together. Like they're busy focused on all the Soundgarden stuff that's going to come out sooner than later. For unreleased stuff for that. So maybe after that's done, focus on Audioslave because there's three guys still willing to do that, you know? So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's like, it's just, I hope it gets that way. Also for a soup, like I know super groups going into the Rock Hall is not really that big of a thing. Normally that's one that could totally fit the bill. It's going to be not for many years, but Audioslave would totally fit that bill.
I don't think being a super group should void you from being
it does, in, they're like, not void Rock and Roll Hall. There have been a few, but it's rare, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like I hope that's not like a rule or that's not something they try to like keep out, you know. Yeah, if a band makes good music, who gives a crap who's in it?
True. I mean, that's the attitude for the Rock Hall, for better or worse. So
an Audioslave has their own fan base that stands apart from all of the other bands that people are involved in, so I think
they do.
Yeah. Yeah, they can stand on their own for sure.
I agree. And that'd be a good tribute for everything, like appreciation for stuff like that as well. So as we move on, we're going to go to now one of the wealthiest metal bands ever, Slipknot has sold a majority stake in their music catalog, over 120 million minimum for the contract. Publishing rights are still all the rights, I should say, not just publishing. A lot of the rights of whether it's old material or if it's going forward with new material, whether it's publishing rights and streaming rights, whether it's partners and stuff. A lot of that's the nitty gritty and probably a phone book size list. But long and the short of it, Slipknot just made a whole lot of money for selling the rights to their music to be used to what is the name of it? Harborview Equity Partners. And the band talked about, Clown said, this is a name and a label that's going to help us stand against the music industry. And coming from Slipknot, who stayed with the same label for a long time on a underwhelming deal just to finish it because they said they would, it's kind of cool to see them get that now. So it's a lot. It's a big legal mumbo jumbo. All you got to know is Slipknot can still make music all they want and keep the rights to it, but they're allowing a lot of the music to be used as well to Harborview Equity Partners, which is the grandparent company of other distribution and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, it's like a media company or something.
Mm-hmm. And the way I understand what these guys are doing, it seems, I mean, pretty awesome. They have acquired a lot of catalogs to date, it seems like. And yes, because Slipknot is so culturally and, I mean, just all around impactful mm-hmm. to the music scene and to fans alike.
Right.
These guys, it looks like they want to preserve and amplify
yes.
what they have already done, which is good. So
I agree. And I think this is cool. This type of situation that can help them do that and kind of solidify where it is. So that way it doesn't get moved around or sold back and forth to others as well. This is a long running deal they have with Harborview. And now I know who to ask for Christmas presents if they're feeling thrifty because they have a little bit more money. I'm just saying, if this ever gets back to you,
you're
sir,
still cool with Killer Taylor, right?
Mr. Taylor, remember when I joked about you with the last meme like a week ago? We're looking for a sponsor. I'm not a big sponsor, just a sponsor. Okay. That's all. That's all. Thank you. I'll message him on his birthday again and send him a link to this and just go, so.
Are you trying to be like, it's your birthday, you can't say no?
Yeah, his birthday is only in a couple of weeks too, so it's coming up. Yeah, his birthday's nice. In December, so I know you're having a great year. Well, you could make our year great. I'm sure he'd love that on his birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to
asking for happy birthday and send my Venmo account.
Yeah. We have the Steves bombard his socials.
Oh yeah, that'd make it better.
Let's use this. Let's get our fan base involved. What do we say? Are you up for it, Steves?
Be like, Merry Christmas, guys. Here's a restraining order. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So, and also, yes, Coriel Taylor did say subscribe to the Rocks. We need to get him to say subscribe to the podcast. If I ever get a hold of him and he's like, and he has free time, I'll have him just like record a voice clip or record a quick video clip saying subscribe to the podcast that rocked and do the same promo.
Yeah, no, we just gotta find out where he is and like corner him somewhere. You know, that's how we do it.
I assure you that will not go well, sir. You could do that on your own.
Order. Yeah.
He has security, by the way. So you got to get past that first. Also,
hey, we can rush him, right?
Also, his wife is a sweetheart. She could kill all three of us. Yeah. Yeah. So
you get a restraining order. You get a restraining order. You get a restraining order.
Why is Oprah giving out restraining orders? This is the worst talk show ever.
Everyone get out now.
That's exactly what it is. We talk about some good news now. One that made my wife and I a little happy. Ghost just racked up some more certifications. They had some of their numbers reran because you have to like pay to have the RIAA like run numbers on how much it streams sold for songs and albums. Ghost did it again. Well, not only did Dance Macabre become officially platinum for another platinum song, Mariana Cross is double platinum. So more platinum albums on after a big fatty arena tour with more coming from Ghost. Good year for Ghost with a new album, lots of performances, a successful arena tour across two continents with the no phone stuff. And it looks like they're ending the year with more certifications in the U.S. I'll remind everyone again, Dance Macabre was the first song my wife and I danced to at our wedding. There's video of it somewhere online.
Romantic.
It was. Everyone our age loved it. The grandparents probably didn't care for it, but that's okay.
Whatever. I mean, like, I feel like that's a pretty tame song.
It really is. So we, it was not Mary on a Cross we danced to. We danced to Dance Macabre. That's the difference. That would have been a little weirder. So, so as we now move on, we do have some super chats. If you have any more, we will read them out. Thank you so much. First off, we're going to go with some upcoming albums. What do I'm going to leave this on the ghost image because it's nicer than Dave Mustaine going to the moon. So we're going to talk about our upcoming albums and upcoming tours. First, the tours. Alex, what tours got announced this past week?
Butcher Babies and Infected Rain are joining forces on a European tour. Okay. It's kicking off March of 2026. I think that'll be really fun. Infected Rain and Butcher Babies, both super great. And Black Spikes are going to be supporting this co-headline tour.
Okay.
We've got Deftones just announced an Australian, South American, or they announced Australian, South American, and UK dates for 2026.
Very cool.
Yay.
Yeah, Australia.
My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, talk about My Chem. That's going to perk
My Chemical Romance.
Yep.
They announced some Devil's Night and Halloween festivities at Hollywood Bowl. So on October 30th, 2026, they're doing Devil's Night with The Used. And then they're going to be doing Halloween with Thrice, all at Hollywood Bowl. My Chemical Romance doing some fun stuff.
On Halloween
cooking
night,
some stuff up.
That show will be bonkers. The live show will have special stuff. They'll have to. So.
Yeah, that's going to be a really fun one. Motley Crue, Tesla, and Extreme just announced a massive North American tour. I know Luke already has his tickets.
My tickets will be in any other venue in any other city in America that will not be near me when that show is here. Sorry, I saw Motley Crue and worked it, okay? I'm alive. Thank you.
But you're still here.
Yeah, I can make jokes all I want. It's going to sell. It will sell.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Motley Crue,
yeah.
Tesla. And so we're celebrating 45 years of Motley Crue. And this is the 20th anniversary of their Carnival of Sins tour. And so they're bringing back like the full Carnival of Sins spectacle again. So this is going to sell out.
Yep.
It's funny. They're Lamb of God. All 60 and 70 years old now. I wonder how that's going to be.
John 5 isn't. He can bolster it up a little, baby.
Yeah. It's fine. Lamb of God is going to be touring 2025 and 2026. Cheap Trick announced a couple more tour dates for this year and next year. Lynyrd Skynyrd announced some tour dates for end of this year, early next year. Ringo Starr and his all-star band will be touring in 2026. We've got ZZ Top rounding out this year and then touring throughout next year. The Devil Wears Prada is hitting the road.
Yes.
Let's see what else we got. Manowar just announced a 2027 tour.
There's a lot of classic rock and newer, heavier stuff as well that got announced this past week.
Yeah, so. It's been a busy week. Dayseeker announced a spring 2026 North American tour. Mike Patton and the Abbott Brothers announced a U.S. tour. And Anthrax, Megadeth, Evergrey, and Trivium were added to Iron Maiden's European tour. Mostly Anthrax. It's a lot of Anthrax.
Correct. So
that's it.
We lost some Anthrax, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to complain, but Anthrax is always fun live. So.
Yeah.
Rowan, what albums can we look forward to on November 21st, 2025?
Got to be honest, we don't have too much coming in. We're getting towards the end of the year now. We're getting to like that sort of point where a lot of the major bands and artists are kind of like, you know, have kind of released their stuff. But we do have some stuff to be excited about. First of all, we have Bloodbound coming out with Field of Swords. They're a newish band that this is their debut album, I believe. And again, listen to some stuff of theirs. It's great. I loved it. Mm-hmm. They're being released from Napalm. We got The Pretty Wild releasing Zero Point Genesis, releasing Through Sumerian. And finally, this is probably the big one right here. We got Aerosmith and Youngblood's EP One More Time coming out. I mean, like, I feel like this is really awesome.
I'm curious about it. So
beyond just Ozzy, it just feels awesome that like a lot of classic rock acts have just kind of like embraced Youngblood. I just feel like we kind of like, it's just kind of cool to see like that sort of passing on the torch.
It's a,
whenever we do.
That's a good way to put it as well.
Yeah. Peacefully. And this, I mean, like, this isn't coming out on Friday, but it came out today, and this is one of my favorite bands of all time. So screw it. I'm going to talk about it. Converge released a new single today, Love Is Never Enough. And it's like, they announced a new album, too. I am so hyped about that. Funny enough, I am not joking. I did not plan for this. I listened to The Dusk in Us, like, full run last night, and I swear that was not intentional. I was just listening to that because I wanted to. And then like I wake up the next morning and I just like look up Converge again and I see that they released a new single. I'm like, no freaking way. It's just like it was a good day. It was a good morning.
Well, that's good. We did. Alex and I are going to funnel you albums we want you to listen to, so that way those bands release, make an album announcement the next day.
Yay.
Yeah. We broke the system. We got some super chats right now from Ellie Yeet. What do you, okay. So Ellie Yeet made a whole song parody about going to the moon. I cannot do the impersonation right now. What do you mean he can't go to the moon on time? He's got nothing better to do. If there's a new way to perform on the moon, Dave may be the first in line, but it better work this time. Oh, wait. Uh-huh. So it's well worded. Also from Gothic Girl Witch. From Gothic Girl Witch, aka Sacker, Gothic Girl. Gothic Cat Girl, it's a lot in this username, but I approve of it all. Gothic Cat Girl says, oh, Stained is there on Welcome to Rockville? You mean the Aaron Lewis Leaves Early show? Well, if they're serving tropical mustards, yes, he is going to leave early. Right? I don't know how that, man, that name and that drink is going to haunt this podcast.
Yay, thank you.
Thanks, Steves. You really knocked it out of the park with that one. Coors Light and Monster served warm in Daytona.
What have we done? I know.
Also, it was my turn for Song of the Week. I choose Moontooth's Eyes. This is the band that is awesome. Proggy rock, but super shreddy. This is the fun, upbeat style rock. They have a little bit more of shredding and groove in it. It is so much fun. The name of the song is Eyes. Their upcoming EP is called Bastard. Their previous two albums made my top 10 albums of the year list each year. This new EP is coming out sooner than later. Eyes is awesome. I'll link to it. It's a blast to listen to. I would love to play it for you, but YouTube would have a fit. A straight up fit, but I would recommend this one to anyone. If you like heavy music that's upbeat and faster and like brighter, it's so, so good. New York City Pride, by the way, for Rowan, in case he's interested. Band out of New York. So, other than that, I think it's time to book some festivals. Please hit the like button if you haven't already. We'll do one more. Thank you guys so much. I don't even know what the like count is. It's like at 39. 38, I'm off. So if you haven't hit the like button, please do. We'll do one more festival. We have two right now. Alex and Rowan, are you ready to book some festivals?
Yeah.
Okay. Last week was fine, but we're going to see how we go from there. This is where we book four random bands for a day. That day will be a festival sponsored by our super chatters right here. Thank you guys so much for doing that as well. Oh, someone just said Love Moontooth. That's great. I've never seen them live and I want to. So we have two festivals right now. First up is Yeet Fest. This is from a random folder, so everyone knows I don't cheat. Here we go. Please don't be awful. Please, please, please. Number one, Crown the Empire. Have they done anything in a while? I'm not showing it to you guys. I apologize. Oh, that's right, because it's on the screen. I apologize. Dun, dun, dun. Let me know. It did this last stuff too. I think it's something's changed. Bam. Bam. Change stream. Entire screen. Can you see it now?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Crown the Empire. Has Crown the Empire done anything recently?
Not as far as I
know.
I was going to say, I couldn't remember off the top of my head, so. Number two, well, they're going to Yeet Fest. Number two, Dorothy. A different vibe, but can still work. Number three, Deftones. Yes. All right, Yeet Fest has got something big. We talked about that already for Deftones touring. And number four, the crowd demands we replace any one of the previous bands with the next band.
Why is it? It's so perfect that it is a Crown the Empire show.
That is correct.
Oh my God. Wow.
As random as it gets. I did not.
Let's just say Crown the Empire.
I think it's fitting, isn't it?
So it was meant to be.
It was. So we have Deftones. Wow. We have Dorothy. We have Motley Crue. Oh. Sweet no. mercy, Crown of the Empire. We are so sorry. What have we done?
Just pretend that never happened. So we just pretend that never happened.
Wait a minute. My apologies, wrong. Yeet Fest. I'm so sorry. What have we done? Deftones and Motley Crue. And Mr. Neil here is not going to be okay with going second to last. Okay, he doesn't do that. So, and number four. Falling in reverse with Ronnie Radke dresses Ronald the Clown. We may have done some terrible things to Yeet Fest. You get Deftones.
You ruined it.
You know what?
Man.
I think we have to give Yeet Fest a little bit of a something something here.
So should we give them one more band? Should we give Yeet Fest one more band?
Ellie Yeet says bring on the Empire back and get rid of Dorothy. So I think we deserve at least that much.
That's not even the one you should get rid of to switch out.
I know.
If he's asking for it, give him something. We gave him Motley Crue and Falling in Reverse.
We did. Yeah. Also, someone in chat just put the festival in UK. Ronnie can't go there. Waka waka. That's true. I'm just worried if I get one more band, which he deserves. What if it's another bad one? You're right.
The least we could do is swap Dorothy for Crown the Empire.
I guess that does not solve the issues with Yeet Fest, but if that's what he wants, fine. I assure you that is not the biggest issue with Yeet Fest this year. I love Deftones, one of my favorite bands. I'm not going to be able to make it to this festival. Sorry. I'm sorry. So
if we do one more band, it has to be like one of my all time favorites or I'm not going. Even with Deftones, who are also one of my favorite bands. It's like, that's a bad combo that we did. Sucks.
People are commenting cursed. That festival is cursed. Yeet that fest. Okay, that's clever. Okay. If we added a potential fifth just to make Yeet Fest better, it would have been Rancid. Goodness, they don't deserve that.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been. Sorry, I don't think this is not happening.
In no way.
Rancid. I don't love Rancid.
It's not warrant you to go to Yeet Fest with Falling in Reverse and Motley Crue. Can you imagine the audience for that train wreck of a festival? Woof. They'd have to burn the grounds after.
Salty earth.
Yeah. Alrighty. We now go to the second one. I'm so sorry, Yeet Fest. You did not deserve that. Gothic Cat Girl Fest. First of all, branding A+ for a festival. We're getting attendees just for that merch line alone. Gothic Cat Girl Fest. Gothic Cat Girl Fest. There, I said it right. Number one. No. We are not doing that again. Number one. Nothing more. Okay. A real band. Number two.
That's very fitting for the name so far.
Nothing more. Number two. Cliff Diver. You know what?
Woo.
They're fun. That works. I actually feel like they'd be really good with Gothic Cat Girl Fest as well. They'd have fun with it. Number three. Gwar. You know what?
Yes.
It sounds pretty fun to me. And number four. Star Set. That actually works well. You know what?
That's
Gothic
awesome,
Cat
mostly.
Girl Fest. You got my money. I'll be there working that one.
Yeah. Same.
Yep. Across the board. Yeah, across the board. It's a good vibe. Star Set and Nothing More are in the same vibe as well. You have Cliff Diver opening up. That's fun. Yeah. Should we have Gwar? See, I don't know. I don't know who would headline and who would do anything. Because we don't have Gwar headline, they're gonna kill somebody.
I mean, they're gonna kill someone regardless, though.
Yeah, though that's true. They will kill someone no matter what.
You book Gwar, somebody's gonna get killed. We already know that's happening.
We will consult with Gothic Cat Girl, aka Sacker, of who should headline later. But you know what? This definitely passes across the board. Merch branding, band lineup, wherever it is, this is a good one. So we redeemed ourselves a little. Just a little. So want to thank everyone for hanging out with us on this lovely Wednesday evening or afternoon or Thursday morning, whatever that might be. Hopefully you all are doing well as we get ready to say goodbye Alex, you have anything you'd like to end with?
Nope. I am good. Thank you.
Awesome. Rowan, how about you?
Again, like, this is just a one-time thing. This just happened at a bad time at work. But funny enough, like I've said it before, but I'm moving into a new apartment next week and I should possibly be there next week. So, you know, you'll probably see me in another desolate, empty room. So
it's a party at Rowan's, everybody.
Pizza and beer at my place for anyone who's willing to help me move.
That's a fair trade, Steve's. That's the first Steve. Yeah. That's the first Steve meeting right there, helping Rowan move. That's a fair thing.
New York style pizza. The best pizza.
I'm fine with New York style pizza. Totally fine with me. So
We'll also grab New York style hot dogs. You know, the ones from the little cars that Luke hates.
It's not that I hate him. I don't trust him. There's a difference. You don't have to hate him to not trust him. So,
dude, you don't have to trust any kind of hot dog. Don't let anyone shame you.
That's true. That's very true. You always have to be a little weary of a hot dog. That's fair. So thank you guys so much. You'll have a new video on the channel tomorrow about the worst Deftones song. There is an amazing discovery from Deftones, but tomorrow I break down the worst Deftones song. A nice little video.
What would that even be?
Filled with memes. You'll have to watch tomorrow and see. Unless you're Rowan, I'll tell you after the stream. It's a fun little thing. So someone just said, just no tropical mustard, please. Goodness, where's the tropical? Man, that's going to be a thing going forward. Steve's and the tropical mustard. Ugh.
Oh,
Rowan going to have to get me out of Tennessee first. I mean, you can fly, right?
That's the crappiest. That is the crappiest bar band I've ever heard in my life. Steve's and the tropical mustard.
I was like, there's something there. Yeah. I'm cooking. There's some marketing wheels
turning.
Steve
and the Tropical
right
Mustard.
There's some
music.
There's some confusing merch right there, like on a t-shirt. Steve's and the Tropical
I'm
Mustard.
Feeling some. There's Ace Ventura vibes all over here.
How hilarious would they be? Would it be if they were a deathcore band?
Kind of like what was the band Oakley Dokley, the Ned Flanders band, along that vibe. But it's Steve's and the Tropical Mustard.
Yeah, but we have more than just looking like Ned Flanders as our gimmick.
That's true. Our gimmick will last longer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Alex, you had
unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately, because the Steve's and Tropical Mustard is not exactly a good scenario for our precious Steve's. We care about you, Steve's.
Good. Let's be honest about this.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If a band like Sanguisugabog, if a name like that, if they can get big, I think Steve's in the Tropical Mustard. I think they have a shot.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying we got to be careful. Then we have to explain what Tropical Mustard is, and then we're in trouble.
Well, what? If people are going to think it's dirty or something like that?
It is. It's a gross drink. That's dirty enough.
It's dirty. Tropical Come on.
Ugh. We'll make merch eventually if we get this podcast up a little more. Thank you so much. And if you
have the Tropical Mustard shirt dropping when?
Yeah. If we get like enough merch pre-orders, like people interested, we will like hire an artist. Or I actually know a great graphic artist who would probably design Steve and the Tropical Mustard on a t-shirt. So
we could find some people.
We could find someone. Yeah. Alex, last week's joke was but 2 weeks ago you had the dad joke to crown the audience's name. So what do we have this week?
I didn't really prep one, but I have to warn you guys. Okay.
Okay.
If either of you get an email from me about canned meat, don't open it.
It's spam.
It's spam.
Rowan got a smile.
You weren't supposed to say it.
Rowan got a smile.
To know it.
I knew that one. What was I supposed to do? Yeah. Oh, Rowan got a smile. I think he's fighting. Rowan's fighting it too.
I'm not fighting the laugh.
What was I supposed to call? I don't know, Alex. What is it called for can't meet in
We're
an email?
We're testing your acting chops.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I don't know, Alex. What?
You already did that.
I'm going to go. I got a train to catch and I'm hungry.
It was already a year ago when you did the French cheese factory explosion and I had to do it for that. And you remember that? God, but that was that. Me actually reacting. No, Alex, I didn't hear about the French cheese factory explosion. So.
I love that one. That one was so good.
Uh-huh. It did. It got the actual perfect shot.
Someone's
laugh.
Throwing raw steak at you.
Dude, that's expensive. That is expensive. What are you throwing out there? The price of beef is crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tomatoes.
Can I grab some of those? I need to stock my fridge.
It's a lot of tomatoes. We got an LMFAO, so someone really thought it was funny.
It's funny.
So, you know what? It's not bad, and it makes sense. It makes sense. That's
it's
what's
funny.
It's important for these jokes to actually make sense. That's all I really want sucks? Sometimes.
I knew that you knew that one, and I'm like, maybe he forgot. I'm going to try it anyway.
Right, it means we get the Christmas tree joke next month.
Which one's the Christmas
tree? I already told you that one.
Yeah, yeah, you already did. Oh, we'll get, I'm sure we'll have holiday jokes coming. I'm sure they're cooking. So
I don't know.
I don't know. Why wouldn't I open the canned meat email? That dad joke took me back to the early 2000s. Lol, frying pan, egg. Oh, okay. Steve's, you're losing it. We're closing out. Thank you guys so much. We will see you next week, right before Thanksgiving in the United States. Hope you're all doing well. Please, please do not spread word about what the tropical mustard is.
I say spread the word.
Spread the word about the podcast, not about the drink. I don't think that's asking too much.
I mean, if you're going to talk about one, just talk about the other.
Yeah, yeah, at least talk about both. If you have to talk about the drink, talk about the podcast then. Don't just leave it open as some funny thing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Holiday jokes are roasting on an open fire. Cheese, cheese, cheese. All right,
Mall,
everyone.
Egg and pan. What are you throwing?
I saw that too. It's like someone throwing the actual hot skillets at Alex Wolf.
I think he's just serving you eggs.
Someone saw Yeet Ellie spread the mustard. Goodness, no, that is not the line for our podcast.
You guys need to go to bed. What is going on
it
here?
It is bedtime, you little brats. Steve's, go to bed.
I'm picturing it now. Front of the shirt is Steve's and not and the tropical mustard. Back of the shirt.
Spread the mustard.
Spread the mustard, yeah.
No.
Come on.
Steve's. Yes. Steve's are grounded until next week. Woof.